Hey guys, and welcome to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Look, I'm going to be honest with all of you. I was considering not doing a new show this week because if you're listening in your car right now, you know this is airing at 5 p.m. on Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. So I thought, who is going to get more viewers? Who's going to get more listeners, me or the Super Bowl? Maybe I should do a replay. But then I thought, you know what? Why not? I have a great guest this week anyway. His name is Brock Seals. He's an artist who raps, he paints, he puts on amazing events. And he and the City Museum have a great art exhibit open now. It's called Blessed by the Ancestors, and you really need to check it out. It's free whenever you buy admission to the City Museum, and it's open anytime the City Museum is open. I'll have more information for you about all that in the next segment when I talk to Brock. Then after that, I'm just going to do some stories from the past week. If you listen all the time, you know that usually I fill my show up with guests. But lately, I've been experimenting with some segments of just me talking. And look, it's a little intimidating because my entire career in talk radio, I've always had a team to lean on. I've always had another voice in the room and someone to bounce ideas off of and kind of share the load a little bit. But, you know, this show is just me. It's the Rachel Zimmerman Show. I book all the guests. I produce all the content. I make the podcast. All that stuff I do by myself. So it's kind of a natural progression that I'm going to do these segments all by my lonesome. And that's exercising a muscle that I would like to see get stronger and stronger. So this week, it's going to be me and Brock, and then it's going to be me and you, the listener. And you know what? I'm really looking forward to it. So hopefully you stick around for the whole show. Now, since it is Super Bowl Sunday, I did want to talk about an interesting fact I saw last week, and that is that 22.6 million people are planning on calling off work tomorrow. So Monday after the Super Bowl, 22.6 million people are calling off work. Look, I feel like good for you if you are able to do that. I would personally, where I work, get called out so fast if I called off work tomorrow. And don't you think most people would? Like, we all know what you were doing the night before. It was Super Bowl Sunday. We all know you're having some beers, you're having some snacks, maybe too many beers, maybe too many snacks, and you need a day to rest and recover. But look, if you can get away with it, or, you know, maybe people are probably taking PTO too, which is great. But if you're able to get away with a sick day or something, like, good for you. I hope you enjoy your Super Bowl. And if you're listening to this via the podcast after the fact or, you know, before the fact, because I'm going to post it before it airs on KMOX, I hope your Super Bowl Sunday was wonderful and full of all the best snacks that you love. I hope you have an amazing time. All right, guys, let's take a quick break, but stick around. When we come back, I'm talking to Brock Seals. You're listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. All right, Brock Seals is an artist, musician, designer, so many things, very talented young man who has an exhibit at the City Museum going on right now. We're going to talk about that in a second, but first, I just want to get to know Brock. So Brock, welcome to the Rachel Zimmerman Show.
Hey, thank you, Rachel, for having me.
So you've referred to yourself as an old soul before. Kind of flesh that out for me. What do you mean by that?
Well, growing up, I was just raised around a lot of people who were older than me. So I kind of took to things that they liked, music, art. And just growing up, I kind of felt like I had already been here before. That's what I heard a lot. So that's just that old soul in me.
So what inspired you to become an artist and a musician? What was that path like for you?
I started with music, actually. So in like elementary school, I was in this after school program called Stars and Heroes, and they exposed us to music. It was a program to where we already had a studio in the school, like a recording studio. So we would go into the studio. They would teach us how to work the equipment, help us write songs, and then we would perform them at the end of the year. And that was kind of my first, I would say, just crack at making music myself. And with doing it so early, I was so inspired and so happy to do it. I just kept doing it. And that's just something that stuck with me throughout my whole life.
Man, that's really cool. You said the name of the program was Stars and Heroes.
Yeah, Stars and Heroes.
Man, that's so important to be involved in like after school stuff like that, where you just have like a pathway into a recording studio. Like, where would you have had that opportunity or known that was a possibility without a program like that?
Right, right. It was so important. And Like looking back at it now, I'm so grateful. I mean, even then it was fun, but you know, back then it was just something to do. But you know, the extracurricular things that weren't offered in regular school is what really, you know, caught my interest. I mean, we had like a drum line, we had a chess club, you know, basketball as well, and the music. But those things, you know, the arts were also important, and that's what drew me in as a kid.
So what inspires you, to pick up a microphone, to start writing, or to pick up a paintbrush? Like, what in general gets you going as an artist?
Well, I like reflecting on the world, you know, whatever's going on in my world, whatever's going on in, you know, today's society. If there's something that I feel that I need to express, I usually do that through my music or artwork.
Very nice. What themes are important to you in your art that you like to reflect on?
I like reflecting on Black culture. I like reflecting on growing up being Black in St. Louis. I reflect on the city of St. Louis a lot, my surroundings, just culture in general. You know, I really feel like we have a lot of similarities, and I love being able to point out those similarities that people may not think we all share. You may think that your childhood was just an individual childhood and nobody else did some of the same things that you did, but I like finding those little nuances where, you know, we may intersect and, oh, I have a memory of going to that same place too. So just finding the continuity of that.
Very nice. Yeah, you said you were heavily influenced growing up in the St. Louis area. That's really influenced your creative journey. What do you think it is about the St. Louis area that's so unique? And we just have so many artists in this area who, like, all right, for instance, I'm sure in New York people feel a connection to New York, but I feel like here in St. Louis people feel a real connection. Like, okay, this is my home. Maybe sometimes people talk bad about St. Louis and that creates a greater bond. Like, what do you think?
St. Louis is a really special place. As opposed to any other city that I've traveled to, St. Louis just has a real human connection. I mean, we don't have a lot of distractions like other cities may have, you know, but in turn, I feel like that makes the people here, you know, really interact with each other. St. Louis is a grit city. You know, we may not have all the resources, but we find ways to make it happen and get it done. And I appreciate it for what it is. I mean, the people, the architecture, just our culture in general, I'm inspired by it because it made me who I am. So I love finding ways to just give back to the city or to uplift the city because, like you say, we may not always get a good rep in the media, but besides that, it's a whole lot of brilliant people, great artists, great thinkers. Like St. Louis is a real historic place. So through my artwork and through everything I do, I want to, you know, reveal the gold that's in this.
And something I've experienced being in St. Louis media is it seems like there's this willingness to help each other out. And I've heard that from restaurateurs, from artists, from all different people. Have you experienced that too? Like people being willing to help you or you being willing to help up and coming artists?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's all about changing the narrative, you know, and that's anywhere you at. Some people may be in New York City and say, hey, I don't have any support. I don't have any outlets or resources, but it's all your narrative. You know, I'm a part of the positive narrative of community building, helping each other out, giving opportunities, sharing resources. So if anybody who knows me, they know that's what I'm all about.
So, how do you see your work contributing to the cultural landscape in St. Louis? Meaning, like, how do you fit in or not fit in with what we already have going on here?
I like to give hope through my artwork. I like to look for the brighter tomorrow, you know, in reference to, I got a mural downtown and it's called Little Palettes, Big Dreams. And it's an image of my nephew as a kid with a paintbrush and a palette. And with that mural, I wanted to plant the seed to show younger kids or just anybody in general that, hey, you can make a difference in your life, you know, through artwork, you know, maybe not like from a traditional job or what you may, you know, learn from the people around you, You can make a difference with art. And I feel like I add that to the city, you know, because there has been a lot of more public artwork that's been going up lately. So I'm contributing to, you know, help showing off the new energy that's in the city.
So, yeah, you just mentioned your murals. I wanted to ask you about that. Tell me about some of the murals that people can find all around town, and where can they find the mural of your nephew that you just referenced?
The mural that I did of my nephew that is downtown on
Okay.
Tucker between Locust and Washington. It's on the side of a building. I have murals in the Del Mar Loop. So I painted the side of the W Karaoke bar. And there's also like a plaza that I painted a lot of street lights, planters, benches. I painted a mural of Jason Tatum. It's on the side of a jerk restaurant in the Del Mar Loop as well, which is right next door to Blueberry Hill. I've done murals inside the City Foundry. So right inside of their food hall, as soon as you walk in to the right, there's a big mural I did. Where else? I always forget because they just keep adding up.
I know you have a
But
lot. It's easy to get mixed
yeah,
up, I'm sure.
you can follow my Instagram. Oh, I did paint last year. I painted this basketball court at Loretta Hall park. That's also downtown, but I painted the whole basketball court.
So you also paint sneakers too, right?
Oh yeah, been painting shoes since the beginning, low key.
That's kind of how you got started painting.
Nah, I started painting on canvas
Okay.
when I was learning how to paint. I painted on canvas first, but shortly after that, I started getting into the shoes. And that's one thing that like really took off for me. So a lot of people who may not be familiar with my work, that's one thing that they know me for is painting shoes.
Did you learn to paint through Stars and Heroes as well?
No, I didn't learn to paint there. I was strictly music.
Okay.
At that time, I didn't know how to draw good. I mean, I loved art. I loved, you know, scribbling and kind of making stuff, but I never thought I was going to be like a painter when I was growing up. So it's always funny to see that this is what I'm doing now.
Let me know about a personal favorite project of yours, whether it's music, whether it's painting, whether it's designing. I know you're a designer too. What's
Yeah.
one of your personal favorite projects that you want people to check out?
I would say Art Mimosas and Pancakes.
Okay.
It's an annual event that I do. This year will be the 10th annual event. And I was just talking to one of my homies because he remembered the day, you know, in 2015 that I was just talking about this show. Like, hey, this is what I want to do. It's just an idea. And to see that grow has just been a blessing in its own. But if you don't know about the show, it's a group exhibition. It's usually held in July. We're going to release the date and location this year very shortly. But it's a group exhibition, local artists, emerging artists. Sometimes this is some artists' their first show. We have vendors, we have performances, but it's just all around positivity, good vibes in St. Louis. It's a beautiful time to check out the art scene in the city, get exposed to some new energy. Just very creative night, very creative.
Brock, how do you balance your vision with what's necessary for commercial success? Or is there a disconnect there? Do you kind of feel like it just all flows and the public is like great? Or do you ever have to kind of adjust to make something a little more commercially appealing?
I try to keep stuff unique. You know, I feel like if I'm trying to aim to be commercially correct, then it's going to come off ingenuine, if that's even a word. But it's just not going to come off real. And my people or people who follow me, they can recognize that. And I always want to be 100% transparent, 100% real, because we tired of just, you know, the commercial or they just don't fly in the city. You know, I feel like people want something real that they can relate to, you know, and I want them to know like I'm relatable too. I'm just like you. So that's my whole through anything I do, through my music, my artwork, it's all about being transparent and real.
And I'm sure that's how you found so much success. Let's talk about this exhibit at the City Museum. Tell me all about it. Tell me about the artists that are involved.
Oh yeah, Blessed by the Ancestors. This is our third year. Shouts out to the City Museum for giving us the location to have this exhibit. But again, it's a time where I can get local artists, again, emerging professional artists together to display some artwork for this year is up from February to the end of April, I believe. So we'll have it there for a nice amount of time. There are a lot of amazing artists. It's one thing I love about St. Louis is although people say it's small, I'm steadily meeting new artists, and it kind of trips me out because me doing this so long, I feel like I know all the artists, but there are always some new, fresh artists. So if you do get a chance, go by there, check it out. It'll be up until the end of April.
So that's Blessed by the Ancestors, and that's open anytime the City Museum is open, correct?
Correct. During business hours, it's inside of Beatnik Bob's, which is on the third floor.
Very nice. All right, brockseals.com to learn more about Blessed by the Ancestors, to learn about art mimosas and pancakes. I'm sure you'll put something up about that whenever you guys announce. And then where can people follow you on social media, Brock?
You can find me on Instagram, Seals Brock, all one word.
Brock Seals, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate your time.
Appreciate you, Rachel. Good talking to you.
Welcome back to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Really hope you enjoyed my conversation with Brock Seals. He's a great guy, has a lot going on for him, is doing a lot for the city. So I really appreciate him taking the time to talk today. If you missed any part of that conversation, you can podcast the show. Really anywhere you get your podcasts, but the Odyssey app is really great to use as a podcast tool for, myriad of reasons. It's a great app because you can listen to the radio. Let's say you're in an area that doesn't have a great signal. You are streaming off the internet, so it's going to be a crystal clear signal when you use the Odyssey app. You can use the Odyssey app to listen to a ton of different podcasts and programs that aren't even on KMOX. So that's pretty cool. We have a huge library. You can use it to listen to all of the KMOX shows like Chris and Amy, The Dave Glover Show, Total Information AM, Total Information PM, Sports Open Line. The list goes on. There's many great programs on the Odyssey app and on KMOX. You can also use it to send voice memos. So this is really cool. There's a little microphone button and you just tap that. You can leave us a message that's up to 60 seconds long and send, and we get it and we listen to it and you might make it on the air. So there's a bunch of reasons to download the Odyssey app. Go do it today if you haven't already. Okay, I said earlier in the show, let's just talk about some stories. Let's just talk me and you on the Rachel Zimmerman Show this week. First thing I'm going to talk about is cats. If you know me, you know I am a cat fan. But the Scottish government, not as much of a fan of cats. So they're actually being accused of banning cats in Scotland. Let's back up for a second here. So the Scottish Animal Welfare Commission came out and said that cats kill at least 700 million birds and other animals each year in the United Kingdom. 700 million birds and other animals. That's a lot of little critters that they're killing. So the Scottish Animal Welfare Commission said to the government, like, look, you should consider some different measures here. Maybe you should keep domestic cats indoors. Maybe you should keep them on leashes. And this is all to protect endangered species. So those cat containment measures could also include restrictions on introducing cats to households in vulnerable areas. So that's a direct quote. Restrictions on introducing cats to households in vulnerable areas. So some people in Scotland interpreted those words as a ban on cats. But they have since come out and said, like, look, no, we're not going to ban cats. It's not that serious. We have no intention of doing so, and we will not be doing it. So there's a cat charity in the UK called Cats Protection. I love that name, Cats Protection. So they say keeping cats indoors at dusk and at dawn can balance the needs of domestic cats and wild animals. I guess it's because more little animals are coming out, more birds are out at dusk and dawn, so you can kind of protect them by keeping your cats indoors during that hour. I keep my cat indoors all the time because I don't want her to get lost, first of all. And yeah, I don't want her to get like diseases and stuff. So she just stays indoors all the time. She's an indoor kitty and no one's taking my cat away. I'll tell you that, Scotland. I know you're not banning cats, but you use language like that, people are going to look at you sideways. So I'm glad they're not banning cats in Scotland. Okay, it is Super Bowl Sunday. the NFL is getting rid of the end racism end zone message for Super Bowl 2025. So they've had the words end racism in the back of either end zone, according to multiple reports. This has been going on since about 2021. But instead, tonight they will use the phrase choose love in one of the end zones. The league says the phrase is appropriate for the moment, especially, you know, taking into account the terrorist attack in New Orleans that happened recently. In the other end zone, it says it takes all of us. So, yeah, this is the first time since 2021 that the Super Bowl is not going to include end racism in the end zone. Yeah, interesting. It's interesting that was the message for years, and now they're pivoting and doing something else. Choose love, and it takes all of us. So something to keep an eye out for when you watch the Super Bowl tonight after this show is over, obviously. I know where your priorities are. Just kidding, clearly. Okay, this is very, very cool. There is a new bill that could cap credit card interest rates at 10%, and it features an unlikely pairing of senators, Josh Hawley and Bernie Sanders. Now, look, these two have come together for a couple things. Man, I can't remember what they came together for, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, but there were those pictures of them on Twitter, like standing up in front of other people in Congress and talking, and it was kind of a powerful image. These are two guys that don't really get along, but they were able to put their differences aside to introduce this bill that could cap credit card interest rates at 10%. So Josh Hawley got on X to write about this. He says, credit card interest rates are out of control. Rates have doubled in recent years. And in 2022 alone, credit cards charged Americans $105 billion in interest. And you guys, I almost cussed whenever I read that little tidbit there. That is ridiculous. $105 billion in interest. Okay, he goes on to write on X. Today, Bernie Sanders and I are teaming up to introduce a 10% cap on interest rates, just like at Real Donald Trump proposed. Bernie Sanders also put out a statement about this. Here's some of what he said. When large financial institutions charge over 25% interest rates on credit cards, they are not engaged in the business of making credit available. They are engaged in extortion and loan sharking. Ooh, powerful words from Bernie Sanders. He says, we cannot continue to allow big banks to make huge profits ripping off the American people. This legislation will provide working families struggling to pay their bills with desperately needed financial relief. I love it. I love that they're doing this. There was a report from Forbes that found that the average credit card interest rate is 28.6%, which is just bonkers when you think about it. This is far above the rate at which banks are able to borrow money from the Federal Reserve, which is currently 4.5%. So these banks are getting a way better deal than the American people, than working people here in the United States. And look, I don't agree with everything Josh Hawley says. I don't agree with much of what Josh Hawley says. But if he's teaming up with Bernie Sanders to do something like this, he has my full support on this one. So if the legislation is signed into law as it currently stands, it will set the proposed cap in place for the next 5 years. And apparently Donald Trump had previously supported the idea of a cap. He made comments about it at a campaign rally back in September. He said, while working Americans catch up, we're going to put a temporary cap on credit card interest rates. We're going to cap it at around 10%. We can't let them make 25 and 30%. So it looks like Bernie and Josh are capitalizing on that and they want to go forward with it. And look, I'm all for it. Okay, next story is less promising, less positive. This is actually a huge bummer, and I talked about this a little bit on the Dave Glover Show earlier this week. You might have a spoon's worth of microplastics in your brain. A spoon's worth. That's a lot of microplastics. So apparently, I'm just going to kind of speak off the cuff here from what I remember from covering the story earlier in the week. So these microplastics are so small. They're about the size of a virus, so you can inhale them. They can get into your blood. There's really nothing you can do to like avoid these microplastics, from what I understand. And they're rising at the rate that pollution is rising. So it's like 50% worse or something than it was 4 years ago. It's just getting really, really bad. And I think we should all be looking into ways to curb this. I'm not the person to figure out the plan. I don't know how you do this, but this is a real problem. If we have microplastics in our brains, the other thing is people with dementia have been found to have about 10 times more plastic in their brain. So this is contributing to dementia. This is really, really scary stuff. So, yeah, sorry to come in with a bummer like that, but I figure we all deserve to know this kind of stuff. I mean, it's pretty scary. Oh, I don't want to talk about the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. I'm just going to skip this story. Maybe I'll come back to it later in the show, but you guys, I just can't right now. I just can't. Let's do one more before we take a break. Kids are spending a startling number of hours on their phones during school, according to a new study. This isn't surprising. Look, I am 33 years old, graduated high school 15 years ago, 16 years ago. I don't remember. 2009. So yeah, 16 years ago this year. And I had a cell phone, but it was a flip phone, and I didn't even know I had texting. It was the kind of thing someone sent me a text, and I'm like, oh, look at that. That works. So it was a very different situation than kids with their smartphones nowadays, right? I just can't imagine having that kind of access and that kind of freedom to, like, peruse the internet at will whenever I was that age. I mean, good for these kids. They're probably having a lot of fun. But the thing is, it's hugely distracting. And I can't imagine having that in the palm of my hand at school where you're already typically kind of bored. So, look, even back whenever I was in high school, now I went to a small Christian high school. We had some pretty strict rules. But I think it was like that in other schools, too. We couldn't have our phones out, even though there was no smartphone access. There was no internet access. They didn't want us texting. They didn't want us calling people during school. So you had to either leave your phone in your car or you had to, like, turn it in at the front office at the beginning of the day. And then they would give it back at the end of the day. Right. So every time people bring up, like, a phone ban, I don't think it's overstepping. Now, I don't have kids, so take everything I'm saying with a huge grain of salt, right? Because at the end of the day, if you want your kid to have their phone on them at all times, I get it. As a parent, you want to be able to get in touch with your kid while they're at school. And they're susceptible. Is that the right word? Probably not. They are prone to bad things can happen in schools, right? There can be shootings. They're on lockdown. You want to know what's going on, right? You want to be able to get a hold of your kid right away. But at the same time, you have to do something about, like, do you really want kids scrolling TikTok during science class? You know, do you want them texting each other the answers? I guess passing notes is just completely a thing of the past. I mean, that's actually a little depressing to think about because I had so much fun with one of my good friends just, like, passing notes all the time. I still have a couple of our notes, I think, just never threw them away. And they're so fun and cute to go look at now. And I guess the children today, they just text each other and that's that. But anyway, to get back on track, this study that we're looking at found that adolescents aged 13 to 18, obviously, spent an average of 1.5 hours per 6.5 hour school day on their smartphones. That's a good chunk of time to be spending on your phone. This was a national sample of nearly 300 participants. They took part in a 15-minute smartphone-based survey, and they installed a special app to track how people use their phones. And then they were able to get, like, a smaller sample from that. Researchers learned that over 25% spent more than 2 hours on their phones in the classroom. So what are they doing on their phones? They're looking at stuff on the internet. They are texting. They're on Instagram. They are emailing. They're video streaming. So I guess they're watching Netflix and YouTube and stuff during class. I mean, that seems like a pretty big problem. I don't think we need to take the phones away in school. Because, again, like I said, I get why you want your kid to have their phone on them all day. If there's an emergency, you want to be able to get a hold of your child. But you've got to have rules about having it out during class. Or, like, even if there is a rule and they've got it in their lap, like, it's like, stop looking in your lap. I know you have your phone. So I don't know. It's just one of these modern problems that we have to deal with. There's not, like, an obvious answer, but we have to do something about that. I mean, spending an hour and a half, 2 hours per 6.5 hour school day on your phone, that's wild. That's too much screen time in general. And then you know they're using it more whenever they get out of school. So, All right, guys, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll discuss some more things that have been happening this week in the news. You're listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Welcome back, guys. You are listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. It is Super Bowl Sunday. If you are hearing this on the radio, and if you are listening live, God bless you. Thank you so much. If you are listening via podcast, hey, I like you too. I love all my podcast listeners. It's really cool that you guys go out of your way to download the show and listen to it on your own time. Really, really appreciate it. That's very, very cool. Let's get into some more stories here. This one out of Philadelphia is so sweet, and just I'm going to try not to burst into tears whenever I'm talking about this. So there was a medical transport jet that crashed in Northeast Philadelphia last Friday, and the plane crash injured at least 24 people and killed seven, including the six people on board the jet and one person on the ground. But the family of a 10-year-old boy who was injured when the jet crashed near their car has come out and shared their experience. Trey Howard is a survivor, but he was seriously injured by flying debris. And his father, Andre Howard Jr., said, okay, it felt like we were in a movie, like we were in a horror movie. He says he took his kids, age 4, 7, and 10, to go pick up some donuts when the jet came crashing down. And he said it sounded like a missile was firing bullets. You could see a car on fire, a man walking on fire. It was just crazy. So he backs up his car while his son, Trey, covered his little sister, protecting her from all of this debris and all this fire. Oh my gosh, I'm crying. It's just, it's so sweet. So he had like metal in his head because he was over his little sister protecting her. So his father used socks and a shirt to try to stop the bleeding. And then a police officer took him to the hospital where Trey had emergency brain surgery. And they were told that it would be a strong chance that he wouldn't survive. But now he is awake. He is recovering. He's even talking. And apparently his first words whenever he woke up were, hey, Daddy, what's today? And his dad said, it's Monday. And he said, okay, wait, we didn't play yesterday, did we? Meaning the Eagles. And his dad said, no, you didn't miss the Super Bowl. And then he said, Daddy, did I save my sister? I am fully crying right now. I was not expecting this to be so quite this emotional, but it's just like, oh, what a sweet little boy. Like he saved his sister and then he wakes up and he just wants to make sure she's okay. And he's super excited that he still gets to see the Super Bowl. It's just nice. And I'm laughing because I'm like, oh my gosh, you sound insane right now, like sobbing on the radio. But you know what? It happens. But I'm going to pull myself together because we still have some show to do. Thank you guys for hanging in there. If you're still listening, I just thought that was so sweet. Trey saved his little sister, had that instinct, you know, to cover her and to take the damage. And I'm just so glad he's okay. And I'm so glad he gets to watch the Eagles play in the Super Bowl. It's super, super cool. All right, you guys. Sorry about that. Sorry for the tears. Sorry for the tears. You know, I feel like the older I get, the more I cry on the air. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just like I don't have that. Maybe in the past I had something that kept me from like, okay, like you're on the radio, don't let it out. And I've just been on the air for so long at this point. I'm like, I guess I'll just let it out. People have heard so much from me. I've already cried on the air so many times when it comes to like, you know, talking about Operation Food Search, which the DGS works with every Christmas season. It's such like an emotional time. And I've just kind of let her rip on so many occasions with that. But now I feel more comfy sobbing on my show on a Sunday afternoon. But okay, I've got it back together. Let's talk about Starbucks, I guess. Very unlikely that I cry during this story, right? The CEO of Starbucks, the new CEO, Brian Nickel, said that letting people order coffee via their mobile phones, quote, chipped away at the brand's soul. So he just did an interview and he said, look, I think one of the things that veered Starbucks a little off was the whole mobile ordering thing, the COVID situation. So I guess that really ramped up during COVID, which makes sense. He said that the mobile orders affected the connection that Starbucks previously had with its customers. Because the staff just used labels and stopped writing on the cups. This is something I've seen come up over and over again with this new CEO, is he is really into writing on the cups at the Starbucks, which I find very interesting. Maybe you don't, but I find that very interesting that he's kind of hung up on that. I don't really remember a time. I guess I wasn't like a Starbucks frequenter whenever they would write on your cup, write your name on your cup. I certainly never had my name misspelled or anything like that. That was always the big story, right? Like, they don't know how to spell my name. What's going on? And I've done mobile ordering quite a bit. And, you know, you just get the label with your name on it. I've never looked at it and thought like, oh, this is so sanitized. I wish they would have written my name with a Sharpie. But apparently, you know, this Brian Nichols guy thinks that that is like a huge part of the connection that Starbucks has with their customers. So that's something they want to start doing again. I had read a story that they need something like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Sharpies to start writing on the cups again, because that's a big priority for him. And they were having a hard time sourcing that because you can't really just go into Staples and say, like, give me 700,000 Sharpies, please. So they had to figure out a way to source that. Anyway, the company also focused on how to remove seconds from the interaction instead of maintaining the experience and the connection for customers. That makes sense. You know, what he wants to do is take this brand back to more of like a homey neighborhood coffee shop experience rather than big corporate Starbucks, right? So he's making these steps to kind of try to reverse course and go back to how they used to be. He says those mobile orders they did put pressure on the baristas to, quote, just get drinks out of the door instead of connecting with customers, which makes sense because they didn't have control over how many mobile orders they received. So if you get like 30 at once, then you have, you know, 15 people in the store waiting for your coffee. It's probably just like, boom, boom, boom. Try to get it over with as quickly as possible because you never know when the next wave of orders is coming in. So all of this is really making sense. He also said that whenever people would mobile order their drinks, on average, they would sit on the counter for 6 to 8 minutes. So that affects the quality of your coffee, right? Especially if you're getting a hot coffee or if it's a hot day and you're getting an iced coffee, that ice is going to start melting. And he said, usually what happens is you come in, you get your drink, the drink's bad, and you end up asking the barista to remake it anyway. So what they're doing is they're introducing a new algorithm for mobile orders in order to make this mobile ordering a lot smoother. I'm wondering if it's the type of thing where they don't start making your cup until something pings on your GPS when you're close. That's just speculation from me. They're also going to have changes such as having more comfortable chairs in the cafes and serving customers their coffee in ceramic mugs again. Well, Starbucks, good luck to you. I just like following this. I think it's an interesting brand and an interesting story. So, all right, I am literally running out of time. I have to go. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm sorry again for crying. That's a little embarrassing, but you know what? What are you going to do? You're listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show. We'll talk to you next week. Bye, guys.